podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Meet the Manager, our regular catch-up with the best advice from some of the community's top FPL managers of all time continues. Yes, we will focus on those with an incredible rank history, but we're adding to that, including managers with an interesting story to tell about how FPL has impacted on their lives. We'll also focus on managers offering a unique insight, perhaps some different research into the game that we haven't seen before to propel them and hopefully us up the rankings. Today, I'm joined by Kareem Cahill, who has racked up 11 top 100k finishes across his long career. So the theme very much of this one is that he is Mr. Consistency in FPL. But how can he think, and how, perhaps as the chat goes on, how can he push on to the next level? Because every season he does really well. We want to see if he can push on further. So we'll find out a bit more about his career history, tips for success, and then we'll take a look at his next week's planning. So we're going to look at game week 5 and see how his snapshot of his thinking. To timestamp this, as I said, it's game week 5 and it's the 2021-22 season, just in case you're watching this a bit further. Kareem, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks, Joe. How are you? I'm very honoured and humbled to be your guest today.
Okay, so Kareem, where are you joining us from as well in the world?
I'm from Egypt. Yeah. I'm joining from Egypt, yeah.
And you're live from Egypt. So how is it in Egypt at the moment? Nice?
Yeah, it's nice. The weather is nice. Yeah. Everything is nice. Okay.
It's always nice. Always nice, yeah. Weather. career history. Let's put your career history up. And as we've noticed, as we noted at the beginning, your career history, you've got lots of high finishes. You've got, you know, top 10K and 11K as well. And virtually all of your finishes, bar 2019, are well within the top 100K. So you're Mr. Consistency here. You don't really have, you know, you've had one poor season since 2008. So before we ask about how you might push on to the next level, what is the secret to being so consistent in FPL?
Yeah, I think it's good to be prepared. Information, I think, is very important in the FPL. You need to know the teams, know the top teams, obviously, the players, their positions in the teams, who are the talisman of the teams, this kind of thing. Also, I think you need patience and you have to have a plan.
Yeah.
Not always being reacting to one game week. You have to have a plan and stick to the plan as much as possible.
Okay. So the planning, the patience. So by that, being for hits, what's your sort of usual hits each season? And are you quite hit averse?
Yeah, more or less. I think hits, I don't mind them if they are needed, but usually with good planning and targeting fixture blocks, good fixtures, you can avoid taking too many hits. Mm-hmm. I don't count how many hits I take per season, but I think it's something like 7-8 maximum.
Pretty good. So that's pretty rare. So do you take many? You don't ever take a -8 or a -12 or anything like that?
I don't think I've taken a -12 in a long time. Many years. Maximum is a -8 when I feel there are a lot of problems in my team that I want to sort out and just get ahead of the curve again.
Okay. So what do you think would be your attitude to risk as well? So the importance of planning is highlighted there. But so, for example, do you take risky moves? Would you take out Mo Salah if he had a reasonable fixture for someone who had an even better fixture, a risk like that, or take a punt on an unknown player? What's your attitude to risk?
I don't take so many risks, especially with premiums. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is part of my game that I think I'm trying in these recent seasons, I'm trying to improve, or I'm trying to change, because I think the game has become much more aggressive. There are a lot of more managers are playing now, mm-hmm. a lot of more informed managers. So you have to always be ahead of the curve, and you have to take some risks. So this is something I'm exploring with in the last two seasons or something.
Okay, so...
But usually I'm a patient, and I'm a wait-and-see manager.
Yeah. So do you think that your career history is indicative of the way that you have played that game, being patient and looking at, not taking risks and not taking so many hits? And do you feel that if we were to look at a career that in a 5 years' time and it's got top 100, top 1,000, that you might have taken risks in order to get there? Do you think that's what's lacking from your game at the moment?
Yes, I think that's a part of it, yes.
Okay.
I think taking some risk and being aggressive with the game, I think you can get consistent top 100K, top 50K with some luck.
Okay.
But I don't think you can reach the dizzy heights of 1K and 100 and these very high finishes by just without taking some risks and being more aggressive.
Because I think a lot of people will be watching this who very rarely finish in the top 100K. And as you said, it's getting increasingly difficult. There's nearly, 8 million managers playing? And going back to 2007, I think that's more or less when I started playing as well. I think there was only a million, 2 million. So lots more players and lots of better players. So it's looking like if someone's watching this and they want to get top 100K, you're the guy to follow. But who would you follow, or what sort of strategies would you follow into hopefully propel you to change tack, to change the type of manager you are, to become a top 100 manager?
As I said, I think being aggressive, maybe also captaincy, I think it's a big part. It's something that I struggle with sometimes. Hitting the very big captain scores that will propel you very high in the ranks. Mm-hmm. These kind of strategies can help you move up even more in the ranks. But when I'm talking about aggressive or risk, you cannot do it every game week. You have to pick your moment.
Yeah.
When there is an obvious opportunity to pick, to exploit. You cannot do it every week, because most probably you will not be getting the returns you expect.
So who do you rely on for the captain? I mean, over the last year or so, obviously you're joining us from Egypt, so I'm presuming Mo Salah has been a captain quite frequently, not just because of his nationality, but because he's good.
Yes, funny enough, this season and the previous maybe season or two seasons, yes, I'm depending on Mo Salah a lot, but the two seasons before, I was actually in the Mane camp more. There was a bit of a price difference between both of them, and I think Mane, in his good seasons, he was more or less matching Salah, but for significantly less money. But then since Salah took over with penalties and Mane has dipped in recent years, I'm now firmly in the Salah camp.
Okay.
Usually I depend on the premium for captaincy. I don't like to captain.
What now? Your career history is quite similar to mine, and I have favoured a 3-4-3 over the years, and I'm still got a 3-4-3, and I can't bring myself to leave that. Do you have a particular favourite formation?
Yes, I'm a 3-4-3 mainly kind of guy. But in recent seasons also, a lot of the players who are actual forwards or attackers are placed in midfield. So I have to switch sometimes from 3-4-3 to 3-5-2. The likes of Salah, Aubameyang at some point, was midfielder, Mane. A lot of the top players, it's getting... especially with the premiums, they're in the front line, they're getting more rare. Maybe we have Kane, Aguero, and Vardy in recent years. Not many options. So I think the game shifted to 3-5-2 a bit in the last maybe two of the seasons.
Do you think that there's a sort of like the formation, it reflects the story of the season? So
yes.
And so at the moment, do you think we're in a, because we'll come to your team in a minute and your team for this season, but do you think currently we're in a 3-4-3 sort of story or a 3-5-2? What do you think is the optimal formation at the moment and why?
At the moment, I think 3-4-3 is the favored formation, because also Ronaldo and Lukaku joined. Obviously, we have more options up front, especially in the premium bracket. Antonio is doing exceptionally well. We also have Calvert-Lewin, Bamford. There are a lot of options with good value. And the mid-priced midfielders, they have some risk attached to them, like Greenwood maybe is not guaranteed to keep his place, same with Jota. The Chelsea midfielders are still not providing the expected returns from them. So I think 3-4-3 at the moment is the way to go.
Okay. So, I mean, you're currently just outside the top million. Is that quite normal for you? Do you sort of start off around there and then end up in the top 100K? Is that a normal season, or do you start off in the top 100K and just stay there?
No, usually I'm a slow starter. Okay. I take some time to pick up, and usually the second half of the season is when I actually climb the ranks. Last season was a bit different in this regard, that I started very strongly, and I think by mid-season, towards the Christmas season, I was maybe top 20K or top 50K, and I thought I would finish the season in the top 10K. I was that kind of season, but then I started sliding, so it was like the reverse of most of my season.
Okay.
Finished just inside the 100K.
Okay, so already we've gathered is being a more aggressive will turn a consistent and good manager into a very good manager. But of course, it's difficult for managers like you and I to change your mindset into that as well. A lot of people say that phrase, you know, play your own game and stuff, but you're looking to not play your own game. Is that more of a struggle than the fact that there's 8 million managers at the moment?
Well, I'm not going to drop my style completely. I'm trying to add some element of risk to it and some aggressiveness, but I think that is needed. An open mind is needed with the game. Also, every season has its own story. Some seasons you just have to be aggressive with the premiums. Some other seasons you have just a few premiums who are constantly doing well all season. You cannot jump around between them. So I think it depends. We also have to admit there is a bit of luck also that comes into it. So that's something I'm hopefully that can go in my favor. I've been unlucky with chips in the last most season. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the chips.
No, I'm not either. Yeah. I seem to remember you may have been caught out with this one as well. Triple captaining Mane in the week where he got injured after 5 minutes, and Salah.
The same happened with me.
Let's have a look at your game week 5 team. So you've just wildcarded, is that right? You wildcarded in game week 4. And so you've wildcarded into this team. Now we've got Calvert-Lewin in there. It's been confirmed he is out for two to three weeks. So do you want to go through the team you've got and some of your decisions, why you have those players there, and then we can find out a bit about what you're going to do with transfers this week. So yeah, if you just want to go through your team to sort of from goalkeeper and further forward.
Okay, so my team currently, I have Sanchez in goal. The defense, I have Alexander-Arnold, Rudiger, Lucas Dean and Duffy. Mm-hmm. I have Benrahma, Mo Salah, Jota and Sar in midfield. And I have Antonio and Calvert-Lewin. I have a bench of Antonio and Livramento at the moment. Yeah. Not playing Mendy,
And Ronaldo obviously there.
And Ronaldo, of course,
obviously can't forget him. So it's an obvious 3-4-3. You've got Antonio there. Why? I'll go from the back to forward. Why Sanchez at the moment as the goalkeeper? So, no one really knows who the best goalkeeper is at the moment, but why have you gone for Sanchez?
I started with Sanchez from game week one, and by game week four, I still cannot find a better keeper. There isn't a standout keeper that convinced me that he's the one to go for. I was tempted by Raya from Brentford for a bit, but I don't like his pictures much. They still haven't played against the really top teams, so I'm not sure how they will cope with that. Sanchez and Brighton have a system of play. They have a solid defense, so I still could not find a better value keeper out there. So I just stuck with him.
Alexander Arnold, I'm just going to say he's an obvious pick. Rudiger is looking ahead to Chelsea's good run in game week 7, I presume.
Yes.
Duffy is great value, and he's essentially your bench player that's come in because of Antonio. Luca Dean is the interesting one there. Why is Luca Dean there?
Luca Dean, I like his pictures a lot, and I think Everton's defensive numbers have been good under Rafa Benitez. Mm-hmm. And because of his also assist potential and he's on all set pieces, I picked him just for, I think, four or he's a placeholder for probably at Manchester City or another Chelsea defender come game week 7 or 8. I did not want to spend so many transfers in defense, so I just wanted to pick sure starters and just leave them there. I want to focus my chances more on midfield and attack. I think this is also part of being more aggressive. I think this is where the upside is. So I try to have as much as possible a stable defense line that will get constant drip of points.
Salah captain obviously looks like the best fixture with Crystal Palace at home. On your wildcard, you decided to go for Jota, but could he be someone else? I mean, have you got him in because of his price, but also, or have you got him in also because you think he's a good option for the next few weeks?
I got him because of the Firmino injury mainly. Mm-hmm. He has when he starts, he's explosive. He's always consistent. He was also a bit of a differential. Also, I like his price point. I can easily jump from him to Mason Mount or a Pogba or a Greenwood.
Yeah.
Or I can go down to a Rafinha. I like the flexibility he offers.
And with Sarr, good fixtures coming up. Yeah. And also, he can become anyone else. And Benrahma. So why with Benrahma, which of those, I mean, any of those could go, but also any of them you're happy with. Would that be fair?
Yes, exactly. With Sarr, I'm keeping him at least for the next three fixtures. He has, I think, the three worst defenses in the league at the moment. Back to back. He has the Norwich, then Newcastle, and then Leeds, I think. Yeah. So I'm keeping him for Leeds. And he's also a talisman. He plays 90 minutes. He's expected to have a high percentage of goal involvement in anything Watford are going to get. Benrahma is the one I'm starting to be hesitant about. I'm giving him maybe, still after Manchester United, he has two good fixtures, but I think he probably will be the first to go, especially if I don't have Mota soon, if Firmino remains injured for a while.
Yes, and up front, obviously Calvert-Lewin, I mean, injured, so bid. Antonio is being benched, so he's back in for those good fixtures you just mentioned. So what are you going to do with Calvert-Lewin? Is he... Well, yeah, who's he going to become?
I am light on the bench, so I cannot afford to keep him. And he is also out for a bit of a long time, 2 or 3 weeks at minimum, Rafa. I think the best option at the moment I can find is Bamford, especially that I don't have any leads. I don't have Rafinha, I don't have any lead attack, and their fixtures are about to turn for the better. So I think he's the best obvious pick. Especially with also Antonio suspended, I already have him. Jimenez still not providing any returns. Wilson injured. I don't find any better option at the moment.
No.
So I think I'll go Bamford.
Yeah, I mean, I've already done the move because I'm going out tonight.
Just forward move.
I might forget later. So I've just done that because it's been confirmed that Bamford is out. So this will be going out on Friday morning. So
I mean, Bamford is fit.
He's fit. He's fit. He's been confirmed. He's fit, which I think was always the case. There doesn't seem to be any doubt about it. Now, you've just wildcarded. I have as well. Many other people have, or they're thinking about it. But others are looking to wildcard, say, game week 7 or a bit after that. We're looking at Chelsea's fixtures, and obviously it becomes Lukaku becomes a great captaincy option. Firstly, on your wildcard, did you attempt to do a team with Alexander-Arnold, Salah, Ronaldo and Lukaku? And because you didn't, why didn't you in the end go for that?
I tried to fit them all in, but it proved very difficult. I had a lot of sacrifices and a lot of compromises had to be done. Mm-hmm. I did not like the balance in the team. In order to, I think it's you kind of have to play 4-3-3 or 4-4-2.
Yeah.
And I did not like that in terms of flexibility, especially that you will only captain one of them, of the Simeons, at a given week. And I still, I think if Ronaldo proved to be fixture proof, and we in the 11 that we have seen, the likes of Van Persie or Suarez, would be very difficult to drop him, and maybe we'll have to go for both. But at the moment, I think the better play is just switch Ronaldo to Lukaku. That is the easy move in game week 7 or 8 when Ronaldo's fixtures turn to the worst and Lukaku's fixtures pick up.
Yeah, I mean, I was anticipate my next question, really. Game week 7 comes along. Game week 7 is a bit tricky because Ronaldo's got Everton at home, who aren't as good in defence as well, against those bigger teams. That perhaps could be an issue. But also, obviously, Lukaku has Southampton. So is it around about then you'll do that Ronaldo to Lukaku switch, or might you put that off till game week 8?
I might put it off till game week 8 because Southampton also have produced some good performances of late. They frustrated Manchester United and West Ham, two of their best attacking teams at the moment. So maybe they are improving. Maybe in the back of our minds, just we have the thrashing they have got against Leicester and these kinds of losses. But they can improve, and they have improved actually defensively against the big team. So maybe it can be postponed to game week 8. I think a lot of depends on how these three game weeks will go and how Chelsea and United will fare in these three game weeks.
It's very similar to my mentality when I wildcarded. I've got an open mind to having Salah, Alexander-Arnold, Ronaldo and Lukaku. But at the same time, as you pointed out, every time I've made a team with that, I look at it and I don't like the look of it. But I'm, as you said, it might have to. I mean, if Ronaldo it becomes that sort of old Ronaldo, or Suarez. I mean, you mentioned Suarez. I mean, those seasons where we had Luis Suarez to pick in for Liverpool were incredible, weren't they? The game was really easy then.
Turn my captain. You cannot. Cannot just play a hokey cokey with him. You have to just keep him every week. Yeah.
And he was frequently assisted by Daniel Sturridge, so you could just get both in and do that as well. Looking forward, you've played your wild card now. Chelsea have the big fixture swing in game week 7, but there's Manchester City to consider. Their fixtures improve around then, and then Manchester United's fixtures get better again game week 14 or so. Meanwhile, Liverpool are just Liverpool. Mo Salah's just Mo Salah. What's your sort of vague plan, do you think, looking ahead, you know, past game week 7?
I think Manchester City, I will probably go for a defender, unless I see Reece James really cementing his place and producing on the attacking numbers that he has potential to produce on. Probably I'll go for defender. And for an attacking point of view, it's still not clear who is the pick to go for. So this part is tricky, and I don't really trust Guardiola. I've been burned by him many times. I actually started this season with Mahrez, and this is the main reason I did not get Antonio, because I opted for Mahrez instead, and it burned me. So
Well, that's quite an like you were talking about changing tack to more of an aggressive manager. Getting Mahrez in
is not work out.
Mahrez is the poster boy of aggressive managers because he can get a huge score, but you don't know whether he's going to play or not. This team looks like a really nice, safe 4-3-3 to me, which I quite like. Going back to the original question as well, sort of to wrap up, what other moves or any other thoughts do you have about how you, and indeed I and anyone else watching, can kick on from being a top 100k manager to a top 100 manager?
There is also another adjustment I'm doing in recent years, is depending on stats a bit more. I'm usually an eye test kind of manager. I watch a lot of football matches. I like to watch any player before getting him in. But I'm trying to add stats also into the mix. I think they can help you eliminate biases. This is one of the traps I fall into. Because the game is now very dynamic and aggressive, and a lot of people are playing, you need to hit bandwagons early, especially the good ones. Because you really get a good differential for a maximum of 2 weeks now, or 3 game weeks. After that, everyone has the player, and you cannot climb the ranks using that player. So you always have to be ahead. You have always.
It's like Antonio. Early. Antonio, I got a rank rise by Antonio getting sent off. So as soon as he hit minus points, my rank went up. And it was a really odd thing to see on live FPL. I noticed this happening, and it is annoying, isn't it? They're so highly owned, but hopefully, you know, players like that will become a differential. Really interesting what you're saying about stats to highlight and pinpoint those bandwagons and get on them quick. What sort of stats are you looking at the moment? What's your attitude to stats?
I focus on stats more with mid-table attacking options from mid-table teams like Calvert-Lewin, like Antonio, these kinds of players. But with premiums, I don't care much about expected goals, and I only just need to see the player fit and match fit and just clicking, and the points will just come because they are world-class players. But I like to put like a context to the stats, so because I think that also can be a double-edged weapon, as they say. So can cause some biases as well. So you need to apply some context about the quality of the player, because always good quality players will outperform their expected goals, and less players will probably underperform. So I like to put context. I focus on shots in the box. Shots on target. But still, I apply the eye test as a filter to these things, because sometimes a player is shooting a lot in the box, but they are shots that are going into the stands, or really easy shots that the keeper can handle, and the opposite.
So are you looking at more those sort of expected stats?
Yes, these help with filtering the good actual shots from. They give a good picture about the quality of the chance or the quality of the shot. So yeah, I mix and match these kinds of stats. In terms of defense, I like the expected goals conceded, shots in the box conceded, these sort of things. So I try to target defenses from these teams. And also teams that are low on these stats are usually good defenses, that I load up my defenses.
Okay. Well, good luck with this season. Good luck getting that top 100 finish. You're going to get the top 100k finish. That's just the way it is. but good luck with pushing on. And I hope we've given some good advice to those managers who perhaps have had similar ranks to you. So top 50k, top 60k, and are thinking, how can I push on? So I'm sure they'll be looking at your team and following some of those tips and perhaps replicating them to push on as well. But in the meantime, Kareem, thanks so much for joining me. Good luck with your game week and good luck with the rest of your season.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Good luck to everyone. Good luck to you.